7, but newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay, your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11 and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Happy Monday, Neil. How are you today?
Well, it's incredibly exciting. It really is today because tomorrow is my birthday.
I know.
So it takes me
29 again, right?
Exactly. And it takes me a whole day to get prepared for this momentous day.
A whole day or a whole year.
You know, when I worked, I had my own firm years ago, and I decided that it was important for birthdays to be celebrated. So I had a rule that if it was your birthday, you could take the day off and do whatever you wanted to. So I did that, and I ended up for 4 years doing it and just wandering the streets and deciding that I had nothing to do.
You had nothing better to do but to go to work.
Right, because everyone else was at work, so I decided that wasn't such a great idea. So I'm going to be wandering the streets tomorrow. If anyone is seeing me just looking around, just wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah, so many things are going through my head. I'll hold back.
Right, right.
Well, we have in studio with us today, we have the pleasure of having Liam Murphy from Hayes Commercial in studio with us. Thanks for joining us, Liam.
You're welcome. Hi, Diane.
And we have a plethora of articles today. And I like the title of the first one. It's called A New Rule to Help Investors with a Dark Side. And this is sort of a very cynical article by Jason Zweig, who writes the Intelligent Investor column for the Wall Street Journal. He says that the SEC is about this week to vote on proposed changes for the fiduciary rule.
Which, let's point out, has been in the making now for, you know, 2.5 years.
One of the beginning sentences in this article says, the most immediate result, I expect, will be the weaponization of a marketing pitch that brokers have used for so long, which is, trust me. The corollary now will be the U.S. government requires me to act in your best interest so you can trust me. And what he points out, the irony of this is that many brokers call themselves advisors. According to the SEC, 61% of registered financial professionals work at firms that operate as both brokerage firms and investment advisors. A fiduciary law is only 44% of current advisors actually have to follow the fiduciary rule, which is to say that they have to put their clients' interest first.
Which I think is a really important point, because putting your clients' interests first is different than what they're currently operating under. The way brokers currently operate is they have to do what's suitable. So my firm, Arlington Financial Advisors, is a registered investment advisor, or an RIA, and we have to work in our clients' best interests. That's what we're bound to. And it's the SEC has it in FINRA are different regulatory bodies. And so FINRA is who oversees all of the brokers that have the suitability requirement, and the SEC is who oversees all the registered investment advisors who are bound to that fiduciary rule.
And one of the things that makes this important is that most cases against their financial advisor are handled by arbitration. And the most common complaint by far is when investors claim breach of fiduciary duty. And these claims mostly fall short because there is no legal or regulatory ground that's clear about that. Because of this lack of requirement to follow the fiduciary rule. And so, and by the way, one of the things that they do point out is that there are, even with these new rules, if it takes place, quote-unquote legal forms of kickback. So, for example, fund companies can pay a brokerage firm to sell their funds. And the only requirement is to disclose that, you know, in the 400-page disclosure book. And so the question is, if you're a financial advisor or not a financial advisor who is required, but a broker, you could, and you probably will be almost forced to by your company to sell that fund, which provides a fee to the brokerage firm.
Well, you know, what's interesting is financial advisors are not required to, but financial planners that work independently are required to have these disclosures. So you were right in saying financial advisors.
So that's a new. So you're a financial planner, not an investment
Correct.
Advisor.
So I'm a certified financial planner, which is a different association that you have to go through. Some level of comprehensive testing as well as underlying classes. Usually, it takes a couple years or so to be able to be prepared to sit for the exam. And then there's also an apprenticeship that needs to happen. So you need to be working under another financial advisor for 2 years to gain the experience before the regulatory body of the certified financial planning role and until they'll give you that designation.
Wow. So talk about making things confusing. A financial advisor and a financial planner is different.
Absolutely.
So it's sort of, you know, talks about simplicity. That's
well,
something.
And part of it is the when the brokers adopted that financial advisor, it was around the same time as the financial planning certification came out. And so you're right. And I'm not saying that it was put together purposefully, but it definitely is confusing. But I think if you're listening, you really want to be looking for somebody who has their CFP designation, which enables them to give you advice on a breadth of financial topics, as well as they're also bound by a duty to do what's in your best interest and disclose to you if there are any conflicts or potential conflicts.
And I guess people who go to dinner parties and have a big mouth and talk about investment advice, they're called big mouths as opposed to advisors. And it's just
it all depends, Neil. Are you giving yourself a title here?
No. I keep very quiet.
I find that hard to believe.
No, about that. About
oh,
that.
Okay.
About nothing else. So this article by Neil Irwin of the New York Times, one of my favorite economic writers, begins by saying the economy may look normal, but bonds scream otherwise. And again, this we've talked about this. The yield curve is inverted, and in every recession in the last 50 years, an inverted yield curve has resulted in a recession.
Well, and we're actually in now a documented yield curve inversion. It wasn't just a blip like it has been in the past. In fact, we are inverted.
And what he's saying is it's even worse than that in terms of risk, and that when you look at, for example, the China problem, we are looking at it, he said, from the standpoint of a trade war, but there are other things happening. For example, when the two world largest economies are fighting, there's all kinds of long-term risks. You know, first of all, what if we start cutting off Chinese companies from Wall Street, which is something that hawks have been advocating, which means that China would not be as able to raise money. And what about a retaliation, which China has been talking about, is cutting off exports of rare earth materials that are crucial to our manufacturing.
And they've done that.
That's right. And so, and what about just a slowdown in the world economy because of all this uncertainty where the Chinese economy causes its demand for oil and other commodities to fall? And lastly, with tariffs causing consumer prices to rise, you could end up with, you know, the worst of all worlds, which is stagflation, where, you know, you get certain prices rising but still no economic growth. And maybe even worse than that is what we're afraid of, what some people hate to talk about, but deflation, where, you know, the Fed is not able to find a way of pushing up prices. And, you know, no matter what, we are seeing a lack of increase in prices. That's surprising given some of the pressures we've seen on certain industries because of both the tariffs and lack of people who are employable. You would have thought by now with the competition for employees, we would have some increase in inflation. And this is what happened to Japan in the 80s and the early 90s, where without inflation, the economy was just dead in the water for, and still to some extent is. And
right. They just recently started to see normalization again.
Right. And so with interest rates as low as they are, it may not be in the Fed's toolbox to find a way of stimulating the economy, or more importantly, stimulating inflation. And so there are
The Fed is still dealing with, you know, the quantitative easing and how they're going to unwind their bonds on their balance sheet.
So this discussion was fairly depressing. You know what we should talk about for the rest of the show that I think would be more uplifting? Real
Liam
estate.
Liam Murphy in real estate?
What about real estate? And we're going to do that as soon as we come back. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit the KellyMarshTeam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached 805-564-1290.
Or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And during the break, we were discussing what the years were of millennial. And Neil thought he might be a part of that demographic, but we assured him he was not.
You know why I remembered I wasn't? Because I can't pronounce it.
That is true. So we now have the pleasure of speaking with Liam Murphy, who is a commercial real estate broker with Hayes Commercial here in Santa Barbara. And welcome to the show, Liam.
Hi. Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You have kind of an interesting background. You went to Westmont. And what was your major at Westmont?
Great question. I studied engineering and physics.
Which I think is a very interesting background for a commercial real estate.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the most common avenue into commercial real estate, but it actually has it served me really well.
So now, how did you go to engineering and physics and then take some sort of churn into real estate?
Let's see.
I guess, what got you interested in physics and what did you
think
you were
going to do with that? Probably starts longer ago than we have time to relay here, but I've always loved knowing how things worked and was fascinated with science and particularly space. I thought it'd be great to work for NASA and go to the moon or go to Mars or something like that. I'm 6'5", so I don't think that
they would have
the government would have paid the extra money to get the extra large seats. And so when I was in college, though, I wanted to study something that was challenging and exciting. And it's funny, I I think the thing that I use the most in my day-to-day life, particularly my business world now, is the thing that I hated the most in college, which was spreadsheets. We had to chronicle all of the tests and repeat our research and track the results, and I thought it was a complete waste of time. And that's the most transferable skill that I attained in college. So I knew I wanted to work in Santa Barbara, and I was able to interview a lot of people that are smarter than myself and talk to them about what they like and what they love. And a lot of those folks had a career in commercial real estate in some capacity or another. So I think through those conversations and being able to combine my analytical side that the physics and engineering fed with a more interactive and social type of day job has been a real great fit for me.
So I have a question that was a number of times was asked of Einstein. They said, how could someone with the scientific knowledge that you have be religious? And I noticed that you were a youth pastor in town after graduating from Westmont, I guess. How do you reconcile that in your faith with science?
Yeah, that's a great question. I will say I don't answer that on most of my radio show appearances. Well, but I think it's a good one.
But I began with Einstein. With and you know, Einstein said the same thing.
I was going to say, that's like a complete deviation.
Yeah, but I'm happy to touch on it at least. I think, and it's a great question that people have asked me before. Particularly at Westmont, we were interested in learning about how faith and science can inform one another. And I think some people would say, well, they disprove each other, or they're categorically impossible to have both of them be right. In my experience, particularly studying the cosmos and seeing the complexity of not just Earth and the world, but the creation galaxy, millions of galaxies, the more and more complex and also the more and more precise that creation is. If anything were slightly off, the strength of gravity was different, or the distance between Earth and the sun was different, life as we know it wouldn't work. And so for me, I don't see them as incompatible. Rather, the more I learned about science and creation, the more it seemed to me that there was intelligent design, and that in fact it's compatible. So that's sort of the short version.
So now getting back to real estate.
So let me ask you a question. You'd rather discuss real estate than the meaning of life?
Well, it is why we're here.
That's
so
true.
Let's talk a little bit about, I think, what sets you apart. We're just going to steamroll over Neil over
Sorry,
here.
We'll come back to that one.
We'll come back to that. Maybe at the break. So I think what sets you apart from most commercial real estate people out there is really your ability to use that Excel spreadsheet and really put the numbers down on paper for people. Who does that attract most? Who is your typical client out there?
Yeah, I think it certainly helps all of our clients. And I think the question comes up, is commercial real estate a hard business? And most of the concepts that we employ aren't particularly novel or, earth-shattering.
Or getting you to Mars.
Right, yeah. That would have been a lot more complicated. I think we're sort of in the information business, right? Most of our clients are pretty smart, whether they're running their business and growing their tech company and looking for venture funding, or it's a investor that's got some properties and they're trying to maximize their wealth with different strategies. So most of our clients are intelligent. It's my job to give them more information than they have. And so spreadsheets and financial modeling are a great part of that. I think we tend to enjoy working with sophisticated clients that really value that, but we can bring a higher level of focus on financial impact of different decisions they make to really anyone with a different levels of experience and sophistication with commercial real estate. So it's great to work with people that'll look through our spreadsheet and say, why did you make that assumption? What if we change it to, X, and can have a living model that evolves over the course of a transaction. Those are the most fun. But like I said, yeah, we're in the information business to make our clients smarter, and so most people appreciate the spreadsheets.
Absolutely. And so I noticed that you co-authored for the economic forecast last month, kind of the outlook for commercial real estate. So could you share with us some highlights of where you see commercial real estate in Santa Barbara heading, as well as California and beyond?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of our partners is a board member with the Economic Forecast Program, and we've had a great partnership with that group. There are a lot of question marks around commercial real estate. I think many of the same question marks that we see with regard to the other financial markets. A lot of uncertainty as far as where interest rates are going to be and what the alternative asset returns should be, or the expectations for those. Traditionally, commercial real estate has a risk portfolio that is between your equity investments and your bond investments, and then the return is similar. So you might, if you're fully invested in stocks, and you of course know this, your volatility, your risk can go up and down, but you may make more money. If you're in bonds, you tend to have less growth of that asset, but generally speaking, there's less risk. Commercial real estate is sort of right in the middle. You get the opportunity to have appreciation while you also have recurring cash flows. And so our clients are trying to figure out, is commercial real estate the best bet for me? Should I be just buying bars of gold? Should I be investing in Bitcoin? All of those things. And historically, we've had, particularly in Santa Barbara, very good protection from massive swings in depreciating markets.
I'll never forget when I first moved here that everyone would come up to me and be like, well, in Santa Barbara, you can never lose money in real estate.
Right.
You know, as if Santa Barbara was this this little nice bubble that nothing bad ever happened in.
Yeah, which typically would just lose less money in a downturn.
You know, to play devil's advocate, though, in your example of, you know, risk versus different risk classes, the one thing that real estate suffers from that you didn't mention is liquidity. And when you have a stock, you're out of it in, you know, 1 second. Real estate, if you make a mistake, you could find yourself in a position where you're not able to sell. And so that adds a whole layer of risk. You really have to be right.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Neil. And I think people can get themselves into trouble with over-leveraging their real estate as well. Mm-hmm. That's one of the advantages that lots of our clients list as well. I could put a lot of debt on this property, and that means I can buy more. Which is great when markets are improving, but can have very challenging consequences if markets decline, your property is worth less, or you lose a large tenant and still have to pay a big mortgage.
In Santa Barbara, are the brokers, or more particularly you, generalists in terms of retail, office, warehouse? In places like New York, people are pretty specialized. So the retail broker is not the commercial space broker. Do you have to wear many hats because it's a smaller town?
Yeah, generally. And there are focuses that will narrow in on. I do a lot of work with technology companies and investors that own office properties, but we do also have clients that want to buy and sell apartment buildings. And so we do have a broader, more it's less asset-specific approach to the business because, like you pointed out, we can't only specialize in mid-rise office buildings that are worth $10 to $20 million like you might be able to do in Manhattan and actually make a living. Right. So we have to wear many hats. I like that because it gives us a broader perspective on the market. But it does require, like I said, more information.
The other big difference, I think, between New York real estate and Santa Barbara real estate, it's easier to become president of the United States if you're in New York real estate.
That's true.
On that note, you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Oh, Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And if you're just joining us, we have Liam Murphy from Hayes Commercial in studio with us. And if you have any questions for him, feel free to give us a call at 564-1290. So, Liam, tell us a little bit about, so when you, for those of us listening that are thinking about commercial real estate as an industry and as a profession, what would you say is, would, how would you go about getting in into the industry now? Because as you look out there, there are quite a few commercial brokers in Santa Barbara. And what advice would you have for those people thinking about entering into that field?
I don't think anyone should be a commercial real estate broker. you know, it's been a great career for me. And the challenge is that the almost all of our income is derived from completing transactions for our clients. So it's almost all commission-based. Sometimes we'll do work on a retainer or do extra research for a fixed fee. There are upsides to that in that there's always potentially more business to be done. The downside is that it, two things. One is that our income is hard to predict year to year. And also, there's a long runway to get to a sustainable income stream, particularly the first probably 2 years, I would use as a rule of thumb. So it's a great business, though, to be working with smart people and helping solve problems. And like I said earlier, I think the key is to be able to add value with information. So what tenants are growing? What do mortgage rates look like? What's the political climate in Santa Barbara or wherever someone's going to invest in their property? So there's a lot of information to learn and process and be able to then share with clients or prospective clients if you're just getting into the business. The licensing itself is not particularly complicated. You have to get a state license, and that's run through the Bureau of Real Estate in California.
And is that the regulatory body that puts down the guidelines or rules and regulations surrounding commercial real estate transactions?
Yes, that's correct. And it also oversees the residential real estate brokerage and all those laws as well. So there are not very many commercial real estate focused classes or courses. There's a lot geared towards residential real estate. I was able to identify an organization called the commercial investment real estate foundation, and they have a certified commercial investment member program that's it's not as involved as the CFP that you were mentioning earlier, CFA courses, but there's a lot of very in-depth analytical work, work on forecasting economics, learning how to do demographic studies to determine where population growth is, those types of things. So there are extra optional courses that one can take to develop a little further acumen, but to actually just get a license is not particularly challenging.
And I think for you, you had mentioned while we were off the air that you really had a mentor in the business that helped teach you the different ins and outs of commercial real estate. And how imperative do you think that is for somebody just starting out?
Yeah, I think that's really important. It doesn't have to be a formal mentor. I've learned a lot from all the partners at our firm and from other investors, CEOs of companies that I've picked up things over the years. So I do think that it's a very good way to accelerate your growth, and certainly in commercial real estate, but in any career, it's always good to get insights from the folks that have gone ahead.
Well, just to put things into perspective for the older people here, back in my day, commercial real estate, as was residential real estate, was a business of relationships. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about information. And then a few firms started to provide for the same commission information that was proprietary. And it changed the whole paradigm. It changed the way business was provided. And now we're talking about it, as you correctly state, you're providing information, but that's not the way it was 40, 50 years ago. The world has changed, and the commercial real estate brokerage expertise has been upgraded to the point where it's not about who you know, it's about what you know.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we still need to know who needs to receive that information and where to gather some of the information that's not just published, you know, online or in a book, something like that. We do glean a lot of information from those relationships that we have, but you're right, it's changed from just who, you know, who do I play golf with or eat lunch with to.
So, Neil, how do you think you would have done in today's world?
Oh, I would have done terribly. I'm
joking.
No, I think I would have done better at this because I think that when you have a service that is based upon unique information, it's a more sophisticated business rather than just who you happen to know, and I don't play golf.
So I just got an email from a listener asking about what you think about State Street. So in terms of, I'll elaborate because it was an email, so I couldn't ask a follow-up, but how does State Street look and how do you see it actually changing and revitalizing?
Yeah, I think that's a question that
it's like the million dollar
I get asked
question
frequently. Yeah, I would imagine a lot of the listeners are curious about that. The pace of change on State Street has accelerated. And so it looks that things are still getting worse from the outside, at least. But I think we've seen a lot more transaction volume in the last 12 months. Our company did a survey of all the vacancies on State Street. And at the end of 2017, there were 37 vacancies on State Street. This is just between the freeway and the Arlington Theater. That's sort of what we're looking at. At the end of this last quarter, there were 32. So that's still more than we're accustomed to seeing, but it's going in the right direction. I think we're seeing leases, particularly for pure retailers, be shorter and for smaller spaces. Gone are the large, massive shopping malls, other than a few that have hung on, like Nordstrom.
But what about the type of tenant? And this is true for Coast Village Road and State Street. When you put in, which could be a great tenant, an office space or a bank, you lose the street environment. In New York in the 70s, they stopped permitting banks to rent space on Fifth Avenue because the only retail on Fifth Avenue were banks, and no one wanted to walk down the street. No one shopped there anymore. So they had to get rid of the banks to put in stores. And I see, you know, on Coast Village Road, for example, almost every new tenant's a real estate brokerage firm. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't attract people walking down the street. And, you know, Amazon may be coming here, but I guess most of it's is office space.
Office space, exactly.
So how do you re-energize the attraction of walking down State Street to buy things if a lot of the tenants going in are not particularly...
are not retail-focused.
Are not retail-focused.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. And what we say...
Wait, isn't Amazon, though, going to put in a on the bottom floor an Amazon store?
I believe they are going to have a retail component.
It's going to crush me if we don't, because I'm hopeful that they'll take returns.
Yeah, but their motivation was to move. They bought a company about 18 months ago called Graphic, which is an office company that had been located in Summerlin. And they already had roughly 100 employees. So when people hear, oh, Amazon signed a lease on State Street, they get excited. But it's actually... just moving those office workers that were in Summerlin to downtown. Yeah. I do think they're going to have a retail component on that corner because it wouldn't make sense to
use it. But if they have a retail component, it may be a bunch of computers so you could order stuff online.
Sure.
It's not going to be the kind of place that's going to have clothes or...
Well, I don't know, because if you look at Santana Row up in San Jose, there's an Amazon store. And really what it's like is it reminds me a lot of what, you know, Barnes & Noble's or Borders, the bookstores, right, were, where there are chairs where you can sit down. Most of it is book-focused. I don't know if that's the type of store that they're looking to open here, but it would make sense as Santana Row and State Street have a lot of similarities in their retail clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of questions that go on with the city, with property owners, with community stakeholders, and with the police department too, talking about the homeless issues. I think what we need to generate is buzz again, a reason for people to go down to State Street. I love the idea of having a walking promenade, maybe closing off a couple of blocks of State Street, and there's conversation about that. The city put together a festival about a month ago that was sort of a test to see how many people they would attract. And
was that the festival when they closed the underpass under the freeway,
right,
and was projections of movies and what have you?
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know if it hit their targets or not, but I like that idea. Frankly, I don't think there's a reason for someone to drive up State Street other than to look at the shops. You can't really park. You can't get out and buy things. You've got to do that from Chapala or Anacapa. So.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College is a nonprofit organization which supports our own Santa Barbara City College. The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College, or SBCC, funds scholarships, childcare, book grants, and other programs. Without these, many students simply would not be able to attend college. There is an amazing range of academic and vocational studies offered at City College which encourage students to find their passion and their talents. As a donor to the foundation, you have the power to change lives. Please help our community college by donating to the Foundation for SBCC. Call 730-4401 or visit us at sbccfoundation.org to find out how you can help. That's 730-4401 or sbccfoundation.org.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
So, Liam, before the break, we were talking about, you know, one of your niches is is the technology companies.
Right.
And what I've noticed is that there's been a lot of technology companies taking up what used to be traditional retail space on State Street. Now, do you think that that's a long-term trend that will stay, or do you think that that's a short-term occurrence just given the state of retail in today's current market?
I think that a number of those companies will stay on State Street. And part of the reason is the size of some of those spaces. I mentioned briefly earlier that generally retailers are looking for smaller spaces and shorter, more flexible leases. Office users, particularly in the tech space, have really prioritized being downtown and being sort of in the mix so that they can use their location as a means to attract talent and hire the best employees. Because one of the other things that a lot of South Coast companies are experiencing, and some colleagues and I validated this with a survey of a lot of business leaders, is that it's hard to hire really good people and retain them. And instead of just offering a couple $1,000s more in a paycheck or a better health care plan, which we all know is getting really expensive, they are using their location to help recruit people away from some of their competitors that might be in an R&D space in Goleta. So they're great companies in Goleta, but if a lot of folks, particularly millennials, which I think Neil said he is a part of that generation.
That generation, yes.
Big part.
They're really interested in being able to walk to get coffee, walk to get a meal at lunch, or go play soccer by the beach, those types of things. So I think there is going to be a demand for office space in that downtown core. And I think that it's hard for landlords to split up some of the bigger spaces, like 419 State Street is an example. Invoca recently leased a large space there that was occupied by Sonos before Sonos had been Territory Ahead. And that's 27,773 square feet. That's a big retail space, but it's perfect for a large tech company.
Right. And then the people who work there, all the restaurateurs in that area, were very excited to see them all.
Right.
Come.
Yeah.
You know, because people tend to go to lunch in their, you know, 8-block radius.
Yeah. So we've seen a lot of growth in restaurants and breweries, those types of things. You see it in the Funk Zone. You see it also on Lower State Street. But we're not seeing as much growth with the soft goods retailers that are selling clothing, or, you know, folks that are selling couches, that kind of stuff. It's harder to get success for those companies.
And there's a linkage, though, between attracting people to downtown Santa Barbara to work, because you need a place to live that's affordable.
Right.
So it's almost you need to solve both problems, because at some point it's already expensive to live downtown. It's going to be more and more expensive as more commercial companies decide that this is a place their employees want to live and work. At the same time, it's also going to become a lot more expensive.
And so, yeah, a lot of those tech companies are not looking forward to Amazon hiring another 100 engineers, you know, and pulling from that talent pool, which is already spread pretty thin, given that there are other cities that engineers can live in and have a much higher standard of living than Santa Barbara. And so now, in terms of retail, are you seeing the landlords lowering rents? Because, you know, there's always that push and pull where Santa Barbara is a bit unique in that many of our landlords can afford to, you know, it's not a straight business acquisition. So they can afford to take a loss for 12, 24 months, whereas in many other major cities, there's no way they'd do that. They'd lower the price and get somebody in there. Are you seeing them, meaning the landlords, more willing to work on price with retailers and offer those flexible, shorter-term leases?
Occasionally.
So no, by and large,
see me nodding my head as I'm agreeing with all that you've said there. You're right. There are many landlords that just say, I used to get, say, $4 a square foot, and I want to get that all the time going forward. There are some that have been more proactive with their rents and negotiated to do shorter term leases or lower price leases, and their buildings are filling up more quickly. So it's hard to paint with really broad strokes. I would say by and large, there are only a few investors that have been thoughtfully lowering their prices to attract better tenants many are holding on to.
So if I'm a real estate owner or someone looking for space, I have a choice of what broker I should go to. And, you know, you talk about it's easy entry, but the reality is there's, if you look at just signage as a symbol of market share, there are very few signs that you see in Santa Barbara that are prolific. I mean, I think, mm-hmm. and this is not just because you're sitting here, but I think Hayes has become, in my view, the most prolific sign on buildings, and there's one or two other ones. So interestingly, like in the residential brokerage business that, you know, has, you know, 4,000 brokers, of which 12 of them do all the business. I'm exaggerating, but not much.
Not by a lot.
not by that much.
But the commercial business seems to be really becoming more and more centered in just a few professionals.
Yeah, there has been a little bit of consolidation. We were able to recruit a couple of agents in the past year that have been really helpful to our business. And some of our competitors have grown as well, but most have been contracting. So you're right, there's been a significant, and I think part of it is people are paying more attention to the signs, whereas a decade ago, folks might just walk by an empty space on State Street and assume, oh, well, it'll be leased next week. Now they're counting when they're walking down State Street. And so, yeah, our goal is to certainly grow our business through referrals. We get a lot of repeat clients and a lot of folks that introduce us to their friends and peers and colleagues because we've been able to help them with that information and with those solid relationships. So,
and one thing Diane was talking about before, I just wanted to follow up on, is that in most cities that I've been involved in, people look at real estate as any other investment, which is to maximize their return. I know people in Santa Barbara that live here. Mm-hmm. They have some wealth, and it's tough to go to a dinner party and say, I own 20,000 shares of IBM. Nobody cares.
Right.
But if you say, I just bought that building on Coast Village Road, or I bought that building in State Street, people begin to pay attention. So there's a lot of vanity purchases. Well, not a lot. I don't know how many.
Sure.
But there are,
that happens.
There are vanity purchases in town, which makes it difficult to get people to lower the rent because they don't care.
Yeah, there are a lot of folks that are in the asset preservation stage of life that live in Santa Barbara, and they're less motivated to make the price cuts versus folks that are still building wealth and need to get a high return, need to be able to maximize
the return.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you can get a return. It's just not huge.
Just not. Well, the cap rates here versus elsewhere are, you know, much lower than anywhere else.
Right.
You know, just because of the sheer price of what the building is. So, you know, we had a guest on that basically he's a retailer, and he just continues to do pop-up shops.
Sure.
How have you seen that taken off in the commercial real estate space of, you know, a short-term lease, like ultra-short pop-up mm-hmm. for the summer months, lease that space?
Yeah, it's a great concept. I think it helps retailers test their concepts. So I think it's most advantageous to retailers versus locking in a 10-year lease if they've never had a business in Santa Barbara. So I know that, especially in Coast Village Road, there are a couple of very short-term leases that'll be done just through the summer where retailers are able to test their concept to see how they do. That could work out long-term for landlords if they stay, but if someone's only there for a few months, it doesn't help that much.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Come on, people. Think about it.
It's time to pay attention.
Mortgage industry is not rocket science.
Your guide to the information you can use to choose the best answers to your real estate financing questions.
Join me Tuesdays at 2 p.m., 10 p.m., and Sundays at noon.
Your guy in the mortgage industry, Guy Rivera.
Tune in to 1290 a.m., Santa Barbara News Press radio station. For 16 years on State and Islay. I'm Guy Rivera, your guy in the mortgage industry.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Liam, you know, when we look around, we see some investment real estate properties sitting and some really turning over quickly. Mm-hmm. Why? What is that difference and why?
Yeah, I think one thing we've seen recently, and it's really been going on for a year, is a widening of what we might call the bid-ask spread, which is really a fancy way to say sellers and buyers have different expectations of what properties are worth. So sellers look at the economy and they say, hey, we've been doing great for 10 years. My property should be worth a premium. It's in Santa Barbara. It's stable. And investors that might be wanting to purchase that property for sale are saying, gosh, look at all these risk factors. We don't know what's going to happen in a couple of years. We've seen larger vacancies in State Street and those types of things. So the properties that we see that are priced properly have been getting a lot of interest, and the ones that aren't have been languishing. I was able to sell an industrial building up in Goleta. We just closed last month. We were able to generate multiple offers and pit them against one another and actually got a higher than asking price close for our seller, which was great. Yeah. But there are others that have been just sitting out there.
Now, do you think we're in a real estate bubble?
I don't know if we're in a bubble that will be coming crashing down. I do think that we're at a very, very near the peak of valuations. And that's why I think buyers are becoming more cautious. Now, if interest rates continue to fall like they have the past few days, we may extend that out another 12 months or longer. It's hard to say.
Absolutely. And if someone's out there listening and wanted to have a follow-up conversation mm-hmm. with you, what would be the best way for them to reach you?
Sure. My email address is probably the best way to track me down. It's liam@hayescommercial.com. That's liam@hayescommercial.com. And you can find all the rest of our contact on there.
And so if they just reached out and asked you a question, do you normally have like a meeting where you sit down and talk to people if they're interested in purchasing or selling?
Yeah, absolutely. All of our initial, well, everything we do is free, basically.
You only get paid if a transaction happens.
Yeah, but happy to talk about trends that we're seeing, about details of a specific question or property. We're always open to help people understand that information that we've been gathering.
Perfect. Well, you know, after this conversation, I just feel an urge to buy something.
Great. We can help.
Yeah,
exactly. You'll be my first meeting.
I'm going to go get a cappuccino. thank you, Liam, for coming. Thank you for adding to the value of our real estate holdings here. You're listening to Money Talk. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
It's